You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Most often when we think about the dangers posed by lead, it has to do with the development of children who may live in an old home or apartment with peeling lead paint or drink water that contains high levels of lead. Remediation efforts are taking place all over the country to reduce lead exposure. You may not have heard much about it, but wild animals are also exposed to lead, and it's having a detrimental effect on their health and the ecosystem as well. Joining us to talk about this is Tracy Young, the founder and director of the Raven Ridge Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. Ms. Young, welcome to the program. First of all, tell us about Raven Ridge Wildlife Rehabilitation Center.
Raven Ridge Wildlife Center is a nonprofit wildlife center here in Lancaster. And we specialize with birds of prey and rabies vector species. There's not a lot of us in the state. About 37 of us are licensed, and not all of us do everything.
When you say do everything, what do you mean by everything?
Well, not all of us rehabilitate all wildlife. Some of the rehabilitators are specific on what they rehabilitate, whether it be just squirrels and bunnies. Some do turtles and reptiles. Some of the bigger centers do everything from deer, mice to bear. It depends on your resources, the size of the center. But we, right now, Raven Ridge is covering almost 17 counties. We had a rehabilitator that rehabilitated birds of prey for 33 years in York, and she's recently retired this spring. So now we are covering for birds of prey alone from Somerset County to Philadelphia.
So just to clarify, birds of prey, are those the only animals that you're rehabbing right now?
No, we are rehabilitating rabies vector species, which were only one of 13 in the state, which are your bats, your skunks, your groundhogs, foxes, coyotes, raccoons. We are helping, especially with the floods and hurricanes, taking in different sorts of animals or wildlife that have lost their home due to the flooding. They were found flooded out of their nest. We're stabilizing them and getting them to other centers. Right now, we have so many birds of prey that we're unable to take in the bunnies, the squirrels, and the opossums. It's not fair to have predator and prey in the same area.
Yeah, that's probably not a good combination.
No, it's not.
So just before we start talking about lead exposure, I just kind of want to provide some context. When you're talking about rehabilitating these animals, what does rehabilitation mean? I probably it's one of those things where a lot of people probably have an idea, but I just wanted to get your explanation or definition of what it is.
So what we do is we provide a charitable, legal, and humane service to the general public and state and local wildlife officials by providing for orphaned, injured, and abandoned wildlife. And what we do here is we care, we raising any medical treatments, any surgeries that these animals may need, x-rays. And then our goal is to eventually release them back into the wild, into their natural habitat.
How often does that happen?
The numbers of releases are very low. A lot of times with wildlife, they don't understand that we're trying to help them, or the public has found them and need to get them to us. Sometimes they're 2 and 3 hours away from us. So if you catch wildlife or you're able to get a hold of wildlife, there's definitely something wrong. A lot of the wildlife hide because they know now they're injured, they can't get away, they're now prey. So by the time we get them, they're in really bad shape. Sometimes we're able to save them, sometimes we are not, and sometimes the kindest, last kindest thing we can do for them is to humanely euthanize.
We're going to be talking about exposure to lead in just a moment. If you're just tuning in, our guest is Tracy Young, the founder and director of the Raven Ridge Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. We're going to be talking about animals exposed to lead in the wild and the impact it has. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at Smart Talk WITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So, Tracy, exposure to lead. How did you find that there are animals with lead in their systems?
As far as lead poisoning overall and in animals, this is not something new. It's been reported for over 2,000 years in humans and in wildlife. A lot of the birds of prey, your owls, vultures, and hawks are exposed to this, especially eagles. We've received almost about 10 eagles this year so far. All of them have tested positive for lead, except for one. We have a lead testing kit here so that we are able to do the blood work to see what levels the eagles, for example, are coming in at, so we can start them on chelation therapy right away. Eagles, for example, or any of the birds of prey, are scavengers. And the lead is getting into their food source to gut piles that are left by hunters when they use any ammunition with lead in it. Any animal that might have been shot by a hunter and they're not able to find it, or the animal got away and it died somewhere else, the scavengers are going to find it. It's also been found in geese and loons, for example, and ducks, because of the loss of lead sinkers or jigs, so to speak. And the lead poisoning is a horrible, horrible rehabilitation, especially with the eagles. It's a long rehabilitation. It's a very painful rehabilitation to watch. The lead affects their nervous system. It affects their GI tract. They can't stand. They can't eat. We did have 3 eagles that came in so far this year that had lead poisoning so high that we were not able to treat them fast enough, and they did pass away.
So just to be clear, the way these animals are being exposed to lead is through ammunition used in hunting, mostly shotgun shot, and lead sinkers, correct?
Yes, and jigs. There are alternatives out there as far as ammunition that do not have lead in them. And, you know, we, our hunters, especially in Pennsylvania, they've preserved so much land, and they're like the best in conservationists. A lot of hunters are the ones that bring us the animals that they find injured. And they're doing a fantastic job. And they are one of our biggest supporters. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the information out there and to educate the hunters and the public what we're seeing here at our center. And there's a lot of the other centers in Pennsylvania are seeing the same thing. Our intakes will double, if not triple, come hunting season with eagles and other birds of prey and animals that are suffering from the lead poisoning. And there's alternatives out there to non-lead, which that's what we're promoting. We want to see more non-lead ammunition out there.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And just, again, to provide some background, waterfowl are especially susceptible to lead poisoning from shotgun shot. And lead ammunition has been banned for the hunting of ducks, geese, for a long, long time. But what are the alternatives to be used overall for not just hunting for waterfowl?
Well, as far as the ammunition with lead, lead is a soft metal, and it's very toxic. So when it hits, let's say, a deer, that lead is so soft that it fragments throughout the deer. And it will fragment in x-rays of deer that have been done by like the USGS, US Fish and Wildlife Service. Lead has been picked up on x-rays in the meat anywhere from 12 to 14 inches from the point of impact. What we're saying is there is copper, there is steel ammunition out there. The copper and steel actually mushrooms on impact, so it stays intact and it doesn't fragment through the meat. And that's where it becomes a problem, because when that lead so soft fragments through the meat, it's also in the gut piles and it's also in the meat that the hunters are eating. And that's what we want to try to get out there and explain, that, you know, no level of lead in a person, in our environment, or in a human is acceptable. And a lot of medical issues, whether it be with children with learning disabilities, with IQ, with abdominal pain, hearing, that sort of thing, a lot of people aren't thinking to test for lead. And in humans, there's a lot of medical issues. The lead gets into your system. It also can neurologic issues, but the body also treats lead like calcium. So the body will pull the lead towards the bones. And we're learning a lot of this with wildlife through human exposure, you know, of the symptoms that they are facing. And a lot of the hospitals now are doing a big push with lead poisoning in children. So it's something very serious. And, you know, my grandfather was a deer hunter. He did have a lot of medical problems, and it makes me wonder if he would have known this information and could have just made the simple decision of choosing non-lead shot. Would that have helped his symptoms? Would he have lived longer?
Non-lead ammunition is available for sale, but it does cost more, right?
It does cost a little more, but when I talk to the hunters, you know, the amount of money that is spent for the best guns and your equipment and your camouflage, even like the hunting trips, they cost money. The gas to get to hunting camp. So you're there for one reason, and that is to get your deer, to shoot your deer. So why skimp on your ammunition? You know, this is the most important piece of equipment that you have. It does cost a little bit more, but a lot of the hunters that I've talked to said that this actually is a better choice. As it's a quicker, it's a cleaner, and a faster kill.
And, you know, when we're talking about eagles, obviously it is illegal to hunt eagles. And we as a society have done a really good job of bringing eagles back. Once on the endangered species list, that there are now more eagles. I mean, you see them, I won't say often, but you can see them more often than just 10 years ago. So it is obvious that the eagles are ingesting this lead by the food that they eat. So this is not just something that the ammunition that you're using or choosing for the type of species that you're hunting, but it has an impact all the way across, as you've just mentioned, eagles, humans, deer, so many other animals. So it is something to be considered that whenever you're hunting or fishing, that you're using something that does not include lead.
Yes, that is correct. And, you know, I'm constantly doing research about this. We actually had, I had an eagle brought in to me by the Pennsylvania Game Commission 3 weeks ago. And we're averaging, she was about 4 years old. She did not have a full white head yet. As soon as the Game Commission brought the eagle in, I knew right away the symptoms were lead poisoning. Drew blood on our lead testing machine. It was so high that it wouldn't register. Started chelation therapy right away on the eagle. The next morning, this eagle started seizing and it died in my arms. Mm. So to have this beautiful animal die in your arms is just heart-wrenching. The eagle was picked up and sent out. The Game Commission did get a hold of me and said that the lead levels did come back at 47. So there wouldn't have been anything that I could have done to save this eagle. So it just comes down to making the conscious choice. When you go out hunting, you know, don't use the lead. It's a horrible death. It really is. And it's just not eagles, but it's, you know, other scavengers. And there's so much information that we don't know of the mammal scavengers that come in. You know, foxes, coyotes, they're scavengers also. And sometimes we never see them because they have gotten the lead and they have died. But it takes very little lead. Two pieces of lead shot, tiny, tiny, like BB size pieces, will kill an eagle.
Wow. We have a question from Mike in Lewisburg. It says, please ask to comment on high concentrations of lead in soil at shooting ranges.
Yes, that is a problem also. The USGS conducted a survey a couple years ago. Roughly 10% of all the lead processed in the U.S. or import goes to such sporting purposes. This amount, approximately 6,000 to 10,000 tons of lead, is being released into the environment annually into the U.S. So yes, also too, plants can absorb this lead. And, you know, it's just common that hunters will ask farmers, can I hunt on your property? Can I hunt on your grounds? And yes, there is lead shot in the ground, and it's getting into the environment. Also too, any animal that is eating in those fields are also ingesting the lead. You know, geese, there is goose hunting, but the geese are also eating the lead, even though lead shot has been banned in waterfowl hunting.
Another question from a listener. Laura says, I spotted a seriously wounded animal and tried to report it after hours, but to no avail. Is there a number to call, or what should I do after normal business hours reporting and help?
We have, it's PAWR.com. That is a list of all the licensed wildlife rehabilitators in Pennsylvania. We are not open 24 hours. Most of us rehabilitators have been doing 15-hour days since March. But if you are able to find an animal, you are able to capture this animal, get this animal in a box somewhere warm, dark, and quiet. Do not feed the animal, do not give the animal water, and do not interact with the animal. Sometimes feeding this animal, depending on what their condition is, then not the right food will kill it. And then get a hold of a rehabilitator in your county, and they can advise you as far as what the animal is, where it needs to go. Also, the Pennsylvania Game Commission. We are licensed through the Pennsylvania Game Commission. They bring us quite a few animals, and they also are trained on how to capture these animals, like eagles or something dangerous like a coyote, to bring it to us.
Tracy Young is the founder and director of Raven Ridge Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Lancaster County. Tracy Young, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.